following is a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCAST.com.
It's Thursday, September 22nd, 2016. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 195, a Galactic Network podcast. I'm Dave Nelson with Brad Ludwig and Nessa Moyens. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. I was temporarily distracted by a collapsible suitcase called Barracuda.
That happens to me every damn day.
You like the Barracuda as well?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I like the song, especially that heart song.
Absolutely. Hey, we're at episode 195.
Yeah, we're getting close to the big 200.
The big 200.
Yeah, and since we didn't do anything for our five-year anniversary, we probably won't do anything for the 200th episode either.
What? Oh, no.
We'll do something really big for 10 years. How's that sound?
Fair enough.
You can start planning.
Yes. All right. Thanks to Monkey Warhol, an electronic musician from Minneapolis, who provided our new intro music. It's a song called Alien Syndrome. You can find it at soundcloud.com/Monkey Warhol. And this is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the galaxy and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life. I could continue, but I won't because we got more important things to do, like the news, the sightings, and our picks for the week. So let's get it going. Here we go.
In the news.
Anessa, you are first up. So what do you got?
Moon aliens.
Yes.
Bum, bum, bum. A new study published in Nature Geoscience, or Nat Geo, this week suggests that the moon may trigger earthquakes along with Earth's more weak faults. Scientists say this is due to gravity, but that sounds like the perfect NASA cover-up for aliens.
Of course.
For over 4 billion years, the moon has spun around Earth without a second thought. It wasn't until recently on the human timeline that we began to have questions. Eventually, these questions became so pressing that we had to go up there and see for ourselves. While many answers were revealed, major mysteries still remain. For one, does our lunar satellite create earthquakes here at home? Nature Geoscience seems to think so. According to a recent study, the lunar gravitational influence on our oceans might trigger earthquakes on fragile fault lines. Interesting theory for sure, but so are aliens. What is NASA hiding? NASA dropped a nuke on moon aliens. Payback time for Earth, bitch. A UFO researcher claims to have evidence of NASA dropping a nuclear bomb on moon aliens in 2009. According to this man, Scott Waring, the evidence is 100% true.
That name sounds familiar. Why does that name sound familiar?
Because I think it's mentioned like every other show.
Okay.
Apparently, the space agency deemed the alien base a national security threat, hence deployed a nuclear strike. This isn't the first time such an accusation has been made. Perhaps this explains the dangers we here on Earth now face. The hollow moon theory in action. NASA doomed Earth by bombing aliens. Look around. Earthquakes, floods, and superstorms are rampant. While this could be a mere coincidence, some have their theories. UFO researchers believe that an alien society might live within the lunar shell. What we're witnessing now with these, quote, natural disasters may be payback from nuclear bombings of 2009. If so, the space agency was right about them being a national security threat. Looks like their extermination techniques failed once again, though. And you can read more at clapway.com.
The famous nuclear bombings of the moon of 2009. I remember those fondly.
Take that, moon aliens.
you painted a really good picture there, Anessa, because I imagined this moon full of aliens, you know, their civilization inside the moon, and there's one little alien in this chair just controlling the Earth with various buttons like hurricane, earthquake.
And that alien is Scott Waring.
See, there's a reason why he's in all these stories.
This is an interesting story there, Anessa.
Yeah, it was one that I had actually found for last week, and then I realized I had a story in there from the week before when I didn't do the show, so I'm like, I gotta use this one. This is good stuff.
I love anything to do with moon, and especially conspiracy theory moon stuff. Because, Brad, didn't you have a sighting? Not sighting. Yeah. Is that what we call them? No. Recommendation. Right?
Yes.
I'm losing my mind. I think I just had a mini stroke. I'm sorry.
Are you talking about our picks?
Yeah, our picks. Jesus, what's picks wrong with me?
Picks and warnings.
Oh, my God.
They used to be called our sightings.
Too many changes, too many podcasts, I swear to God.
It used to be creature features.
Yes,
it's
yes.
True.
Okay, so didn't you have a pick a while ago about a documentary about the moon and aliens? Wasn't that you?
I'm pretty sure I did, yeah.
But thank you, C. Anthony from clapway.com for writing that.
If you guys want to read more about this, we'll have the link in the show notes because I'm sure it's fascinating stuff. I would like to collect more alien moon stories and alien moon conspiracy theories. I love these. Made my day there, Anessa.
You're welcome, Dave.
All right. You can follow this Galactic Network program, or you can follow the Galactic Network on Twitter. You can like our Facebook page or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching Galactic Netcast on all the major social networks or click on the icons at the upper right-hand corner of each and every single page of our website at gncasts.com. Remember the movie Avatar from, I want to say, about 7 years ago?
Yes.
The Last Airbender?
Nope.
No. Oh, okay.
This is the one with the blue-skinned aliens. They use their tails for some kind of sex. Anyways, highest grossing film of all time. Remember that one?
Yes.
Okay.
They're working on follow-up films from what I know.
Yeah, you were right about the sequels. Four sequels due to be released starting in late 2018. And Fox Consumer Products is rolling out a traveling exhibit called Avatar: Discover Pandora. It'll be first opening for 3 months, starting December 7th in Taipei, Taiwan, and then travel around the world. Okay. The 12,000 square foot interactive exhibition will give fans the chance to explore Pandora in a real life setting where they'll learn about space travel and the history of the discovery of Pandora, explore its flora and fauna, engage in activities based on the culture, like that weird tail thing, whatever that was, the language and the music of the Na'vi, interact with banshees, and learn how to operate an amp suit. An amp suit, that's the one where they...
Power armor, yeah.
Okay.
The suit that... the bad guy was kicking what's-his-name's butt with.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're right. Definitely.
You know, old what's-his-name.
That guy. I saw it once, and I don't remember
cat
a whole lot about it.
Cat dude.
What was that, Brad?
I said cat dude.
Cat dude.
You know, old what's-his-name. Cat
okay.
dude.
Okay. The original Avatar, released 7 years ago, remains the highest grossing film of all time, nearly $2.8 billion global box office. At CinemaCon in April, Cameron, as in James, called the upcoming four follow-ups epic and said they stand alone but together form a saga. After Avatar,
I thought you were going to say form Voltron.
Yes, that would be cool. That'd be a weird mashup. They were in the same universe the whole time.
What? Mind equals blown.
After Avatar 2's December 2018 release, the next films are slated to go out Christmas 2020, 2022, and 2023. So not only do we have a crap ton of Marvel movies and a crap ton of Star Wars movies, we'll have a crap ton of Avatar movies in our future. This exhibit reminds me of two exhibits I've been to in recent years. The most recent being the Star Trek Starfleet Academy exhibit that was here in Ottawa. And then a few years ago, there was a similar one for Star Wars. They all seem to have the same kind of MO, like it's something based on a franchise or a fictional thing, but then they root it in like the real life, real world stuff. Like you learn about science and you learn about technology through like something else.
They sneak in education.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to the bodies exhibit and there was no like sci-fi base. It was just like, hey, look at all of these dead people that have donated their bodies to science.
Well, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah. It was still really cool, though. Little disturbing at times.
Would you guys like to check this out, this Avatar exhibit?
If it were nearby.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, you know, fly to Florida or something to see it, but
yeah. like say Minneapolis.
Okay. Yeah, Minneapolis, Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, if it came to either of those places, would you go specifically for this?
I think so.
Yep. Maybe swing by IKEA.
Yeah. Two birds, one stone. There you go.
I know. I need a bookshelf.
All the bookshelves.
All right.
The one I want like has really expensive shipping, so makes me sad.
If
next on IKEA Talk.
Yeah. If you like what you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, if you'd like to support us financially, you can do that by going to gncasts.com/support. Because what we do is not free. We have to pay for certain things, like the website. That has a place on the internet that we have to pay the rent for, or the audio hosting. That's also another cost that we have to pay out every single month. And with your reoccurring donation to, number one, our Patreon campaign, which you can access through that website, you can also check out our Amazon affiliate link on that page as well. Again, that's gncasts.com/support. Say Christmas is coming up.
Okay, Christmas is coming up.
Christmas is coming up. You got presents to buy. You're going to be going on Amazon. You might as well use our link, and a small percentage of what you pay out to Amazon comes back to us. So it's like you're helping us out without even with helping yourself out, right?
Word.
Okay. gncasts.com/support. We thank you for that. All right, Brad, save the show. What do you got there?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to quote unquote save the show, but I do have some interesting information from Stephen Hawking.
Ooh.
Now, Stephen Hawking thinks that we should find aliens before they find us.
Darn tootin'.
He's talked about this before, but he's again warning about announcing our presence to any alien civilizations that might be out there, especially those that may be more technologically advanced than us. He has a half-hour program called Stephen Hawking's Favorite Places, in which he flies, quote-unquote, to potentially habitable exoplanets like Galaxy 832C in a CGI spaceship. Now, this is a super Earth, and it's only 16 light years away from Earth, and it's just the sort of world that the Hawking-supported Breakthrough Listen initiative that he's announced along with the Russian billionaire that is backing it and is also interested in it. And they hope to scan for signs of alien signals using our most sensitive radio telescopes. And he's quoted as saying, if intelligent life has evolved on Galaxy 832C, we should be able to hear it. One day we might receive a signal from a planet like this, but we should be wary of answering back. Meeting an advanced civilization could be like Native Americans encountering Columbus. That didn't turn out so well. He's not wrong. Beware people bearing blankets. That's all I got to say about that. Hawking manages to be both worried about exposing our civilization to aliens, and he's also excited about finding them. He supports not only Breakthrough Listen, but also the project called Breakthrough Starshot. And if you recall, I think we talked about this before, they would be like micro spaceships that would be propelled by a laser propulsion system based on Earth. And we would be pushing these smaller craft out at about a quarter of light speed. These little craft would have recording devices and they'd be able to send data back to us. But you know what? Not everybody agrees with Hawking. Now, a gentleman by the name of Doug Vakoch. Vakoch?
Hey, watch your language.
Hey!
Sorry.
President of METI International, not SETI, METI with an M, which is dedicated to researching, composing, and sending messages from Earth to potential alien civilizations, explained that we've already revealed ourselves through the myriad radio, television, and other signals we've been sending out for nearly a century. And he's not wrong. That story came to us from CNET.
Have you ever seen Contact, the movie?
Oh, yes. I enjoy that movie quite a bit.
The opening scene's the best. The radio signals and the TV signals coming from Earth, they pull back, and further back it goes, the older the signals are, and then it eventually gets so far away that you can't hear anything. It's kind of like traveling through space at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was very effective. And I remember Third Eye Blind, Summer Chair in Life being, and the Spice Girls being on there when they first pull back. So we have to fear for our lives. We got to stop putting ourselves out there. It's like the opposite of, you know, meeting a significant other. We don't want to put ourselves out there because the aliens that we meet may not be as friendly as that blind date, right? Is that the right metaphor?
Kinda.
Okay.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black triangular three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a zone. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
I think I'm actually feeling the effects of I'm not on a diet, but I started using MyFitnessPal. You guys ever heard of MyFitnessPal?
I did. I used it for a while, and I really need to start using it again.
So anybody who's not familiar with it, you track your calories, or you track your food. And I'm very aware of how much I'm putting in my body now. So I'm putting less in my body, and I've already lost.
Your body's like, I'm hungry.
Okay, here we go. A sighting, a real-life sighting, a sighting of a possible UFO craft. A man and his girlfriend believe they have captured a UFO on camera after stopping to film the sky in New York. The craft, which has a shape similar to that of the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars, can be seen in the clip. The footage was uploaded online with the comment, "Me and my girlfriend were coming home at approximately 9 and 10 p.m. when we saw a light to our left." And it goes on to say, "This thing was a complete lit surface craft. It wasn't blinking lights. The entire surface of the craft was lit up and glowing. The video, which was shared to the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, this week, was actually filmed on August 4th. I love the audio from this video. In the footage, the man who is recording the scene near Goshi, New York, can be heard saying, 'What the hell is that?' To which his girlfriend, Annette, replies, 'I don't know, man, but no planes ride that low. It's mostly transparent. It's definitely a UFO. They're watching us.' But the filmer then adds, 'There's no way that's a plane. Look at the shape of it. Look how big it is.'"
Oh, my God.
I was waiting.
That's what she said.
Oh, that's what I was waiting for. Thank you. Now, let's see how my interpretation matches up with the original.
Yes. What the hell is that?
I don't know, man, but no planes ride that low.
Huh?
I think it's pretty spot on.
Yep.
Not gonna lie.
So if you get a chance, check out the video. We'll put the link in the show notes. And you tell us if you think it looks like the Millennium Falcon. Maybe this is somebody from the Star Wars universe actually crossed over into our universe. Maybe it's an actual parallel universe with real people. Or not.
Or not.
Gotta hand it to you, Dave.
You're good.
Sorry, I'm terrible.
If you have a question or comment about anything that we've discussed on this Galactic Network podcast, email aliens@gncasts.com. Leave a voicemail message by calling 805-328-3966 or go to gncasts.com/contact. We read, listen, and appreciate all of your feedback. I want to play this again. Hang on. No, I love this part right here.
I don't know, man, but no planes ride that low.
I don't know, man. All right, that's your sighting. Let's move on to our picks and warnings. These are things that we have watched, listened to, read, played, made, whatever, all relating to aliens in some form, and I'm loving Anessa's pick already.
There you go. My pick is the song, and then I'm like, there's a video. I didn't realize there was a video for the song. Megadeth's Hangar 18.
Mm-hmm.
And the song, if you guys, well, I guess if you guys step back, what was it, last week, the week before? I talked about Hangar 18 and how the big idea is that a lot of the, or the big theory is that a lot of the alien craft and survivors from Roswell and non-survivors ended up getting transported to Hangar 18 in Ohio, and not to Area 51, like a lot of people believe. And so Megadeth has this song and music video that does have people in costume as aliens, and Dave Mustaine singing about how they've seen too much and that sort of thing. And I'll read some of the lyrics and whatnot, but it's, "Welcome to our fortress hall. Take some time to show you around. Impossible to break these walls, for you see the steel is much too strong. Computer banks rule the world, instruments to sight the stars. Possibly I've seen too much. Hangar 18, I know too much. Foreign life forms inventory, suspended state of cryogenics. Selective amnesia is a story. Believed, foretold, but who'd suspect the military intelligence? Two words combined that can't make sense." And then it goes back to the chorus and whatnot. But no, I enjoy the song. I do like Megadeth. And it was just one that kind of fell off the radar for a long time. And then I was like, hey. And then I did a Google search and I'm like, there's a video. So, ta-da!
I just had a thought that I have no idea what either of your musical tastes are. Like, I've been doing the show with you guys for so long, I've never thought to ask what you guys like to listen to.
Well, me personally, I listen to a little bit of everything. Brad can tell you that listening to my iPod, it goes through, like, rock, classical, classical guitar. You've got some Hindi in there. You've got music in Spanish. You've got music in French. Like, I listen to a little bit of everything, and it just is really dependent upon my mood. If you'd asked me like 15 years ago, it'd have been like, yeah, metal, rock. But my, and classical, I did listen to classical because band geek. But no, I mean, I listen to everything and stuff that people would probably frown upon and be like, ah, you listen to that? And I'd be like, yes, I do. I can't help it. I like happy pop music too. So, yeah, it just depends.
It's good to have a wide palate.
It is, because otherwise you're pretty miserable wherever you go. The only thing that I don't listen to a lot of would be country.
Yep, me too.
And I don't really consider the newer stuff country. It's really more on the pop side of things. But if you toss in older country artists and whatnot, then I might listen to them once in a while. So, yeah.
Brad, how about you? I know that you're a big fan of Jonathan Coulton.
I do enjoy the Jonathan Coulton. You know, my interests are fairly eclectic too. I mean, I like some, yeah, Jason Derulo. I like some Katy Perry, but then I also like
Nordic death metal.
Well, Alice in Chains, you know, Nirvana. classical. I mean, just incredibly eclectic. Whatever strikes my fancy is what I listen to. So
that's funny because I have, you know, like something like Johnny Cash, and then like Lady Gaga comes up next, and then you've got Mussorgsky after that, and then like it goes from like Mussorgsky to bluegrass because that totally transitions well. So I do listen to bluegrass. I will say that I do like bluegrass.
Yeah, I do. I like it too.
Double makes three, highly recommended.
That was Music Time with Brad and Anessa. All right.
Yep. You're welcome.
All right. Cool. Well, that's an awesome pick. We don't have too many music selections as picks, but when we do, they're awesome. What would you give as a rating? How many flying saucers?
I think overall, I would probably, man, that's kind of tough. I would give it a 4.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I would give it a 4. It's just, you know, like a lot of songs sing about like, oh, you know, like love and romance or whatever it might be. Like, I'm broke. But this one's like, yeah, conspiracy theories. And I'm like, woohoo. So I like it. It's refreshing. It's got a nice beat. And then, of course, you've got the whole guitar thing going on. And there's Dave Mustaine and his weird white, like, I don't, it's like a high-pitched voice, I guess. And it's not a voice that I've really been particularly fond of, but it's one that I'm okay with. Because there's a few bands that have kind of a similar pitched voice that I just can't stand. And Dave Mustaine kind of got lucky on that.
He does have a pretty good sound. I like his voice as well. Yeah. Sympathy. No, that's Metallica.
I hear he's angry again.
Yeah, I forgot about that song. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay.
Angry again.
All right. So my pick is The Masonic Truth About Aliens, a sci-fi survival guide special.
What?
Yeah, it's one of our shows. And I've picked the sci-fi survival guide before for my pick. And I thought I'd do it again just because, well, number one, I didn't really have a pick until last minute. And number two, it's always good to promote our own shows. And Daryl does an awesome job at the Sci-Fi Survival Guide. And he's doing something different this month. He usually only releases one episode per month because he puts a lot into them. A lot of music, a lot of, like, he does reenactments or, like, he does acting. He does a dramatic reading. I think he did a poem on one episode. So he puts a lot of high production value. So it takes him a while to get those episodes out. But this month he's doing these mini episodes once a week, and they're all about conspiracy theories. And last week he was discussing the Denver International Airport and the whole Masonic kind of background and conspiracies surrounding the airport and how there's all these, like, what did I just say? Not Masonic. Did I say Masonic?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the other group that's
Illuminati?
Illuminati, Knights Templar, I think. Yeah, the Illuminati. That's what I was thinking of. There's a lot of Illuminati like symbolism, and supposedly, the Denver International Airport is like the epicenter of the Illuminati. So on this episode, it's all about how the Illuminati and is related to aliens in different ways. Like he talks about Ronald Reagan and those famous quotes that he spoke in front of the UN, and he made a reference to not directly aliens, but kind of indirectly, but people knew exactly what he was talking about. I think it's the whole...
No, he
was talking about how the world would be so much different if all of a sudden we had this outside threat and we'd have to band together. And And that was... So he brought that up in this latest episode. Then he also talked about how all the sci-fi on TV and in the films are all like directly influenced by members of the Illuminati, like the like Steven Spielberg, he's a member. Gene Roddenberry is also a member of the Illuminati. It's very, very, and Daryl comes back and goes, I don't believe any of this. These are just theories. This is just conspiracy. And so he's doing a whole month of conspiracy theories. And this in particular was about aliens. So I highly recommend you check it out. You can find it at gncasts.com/... I forget the short URL, but you can find it at gncast.com. Just go up to podcasts and you'll find it very easily. It's also on the main page right now. So if you're not listening to us in the future, it'll still be on the main page. So yeah, The Masonic Truth About Aliens, a Sci-Fi Survival Guide special. Please check it out. Please listen and subscribe because Daryl does a lot of work, puts a lot of work into him, and does a great job. So I think you'd like it very much. Oh, I'm going to give it, just because I can, 5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Bam! Nice. Take that, Bainbridge scholars.
The Mummy.
Take that who?
Bainbridge scholars.
It's a quote from The Mummy.
Oh, okay. I've only watched the movie maybe once, so I don't know. I don't know that.
I loved it so much.
I know, I did too.
All right, Brad, what do you got there for your pick and or warning?
I got a thing called the Unsealed. It's called Unsealed Alien Files, Episode 6, Alien Plagues.
Oh, no.
So, to me, this show is like the equivalent of internet clickbait. Basically, it's a discussion about diseases and could aliens drop diseases on us? I mean, if I were to boil this down, and the general consensus is, well, sure, why not? I wasn't all that impressed with this episode. The series is interesting because they have a couple of people on there, and it's never the aliens dude with his hair, you know, way up. The Greek dude.
It's not aliens, but it's aliens. That guy.
Something.
Yeah. But they've got a couple of people that worry me. And it's on Netflix. If you want to watch some stuff where you're interested in things that are... some of the things that they talk about, historically accurate things that happened, like the Battle of Los Angeles, that and they talk about some of the background of the Battle of Los Angeles in one of the episodes. So there are parts of it that are kind of informed and interesting, and other times they just woo, way out in left field. So if you want to go on a wild ride between fact and fantasy, I would highly recommend going to watch some episodes of Unsealed Alien Files. So this particular episode, again, was the episode 6 called Alien Plagues.
Is this one of those times where it was like their excuse to like throw in aliens like, we've got these cool concepts, but let's make it more interesting by throwing in aliens? Like, it seems like shows like this, they have the initial theme, but then they run out of ideas eventually. So they have to like make crap up. And how can we relate it to aliens?
It kind of feels that way, not going to lie. But you know, I depending on where you stand with the whole topic, if we've been visited before, if we are, you know, all the alliances that they talk about with government and other conspiracy theories and things like that, then this is an interesting trip down the rabbit hole, as it were. No matter what side of the fence that you are as a believer or non-believer, it's interesting to kind of get that different point of view and see what other people think about the subject of aliens. So,
in the book and the movie, The Fifth Wave, one of the waves, and the waves are the different ways that the aliens tried to wipe out the human civilization, I believe, was diseases. So,
oh, sure.
Yeah. Watch this episode, then watch The Fifth Wave, and maybe it'll combine to make it some, like, because I hear The Fifth Wave, the movie's not that good. The book was pretty good. The movie, not so much. So it sounds like you're not super impressed with this. So maybe the two combined will make for an enjoyable watching, like, viewing experience. Who knows?
Here's hoping.
Yeah. So how many flying sauces are you going to give this bad boy?
I'm kind of torn. I'm going to go middle of the road, 2.5 out of 5, because it really kind of depends on, like I said before, your stance and your beliefs on aliens and visitation. And you're either going to enjoy it or you're really not going to. So,
do you learn about, like, communicable diseases and all that jazz?
Yeah, you do learn a little bit of the history of some of the diseases and what happened. And so, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of factual, historically accurate truths that are in there, but they're peppered with conspiracy. So,
okay,
you do have the opportunity to learn some stuff and then have a light seasoning of conspiracy laid on top of it. So
here's my impersonation of the announcers on any of these type of shows. They use a lot of question marks. Like, for example, the Black Death. Could it happen again?
Yes. Yes. That happens a lot.
My wife and I watched this show called The Curse of Oak Island.
Oh, yeah.
And the announcer does that a lot. Like, almost every segment, he'll come up with some kind of question.
Yeah, I think that kind of comes back to the whole, like, me saying, like, clickbaity stuff. That really, like, if you're on Facebook and, you know, could your head explode? If your nose itches, you may want to, you know, blah, 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 and click here and find out more.
Will Brad, Dave, and Anessa talk about aliens some more?
Most likely.
The answer is yes.
All signs point to yes.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
All right.
It's the alien invasion.
Okay, so rundown or review of our picks and warnings. Unsealed, Alien Files, Alien Plagues. The Masonic Truth About Aliens, the Sci-Fi Survival Guide Special. And Anessa had a kick-ass tune, Megadeth's Hangar 18. I'm going to go watch it right after we're done because I want to crank up some metal and bang my head.
Bam.
As well you should.
Word.
Although I do have nice cushiony walls in my studio here, so if I bang my head, I won't hurt it.
Nice.
That's good news.
You have got the world on a string, my friend.
If you'd like to chat with the hosts of our podcasts on the Galactic Network podcasts or other listeners of this network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, while Brad is, no, while Anessa's mowing the lawn, possibly, if she's got her phone with her and she has the app open, who knows, you can do that by going to gncast.com/signup. It's a cool chat app. Messenger app that we all of us are on, some more than others, some a lot, others not so much, but who knows, you might catch one of us on the app, and you can sign up to be on the app and in the group with us again by going to gncasts.com/signup. All right, for more on this podcast, including show notes, contact info, and more, go to gncasts.com/aliens. That's gncasts.com/aliens. And subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going to gncasts.com/subscribe or search for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered. All right, final thoughts. Bradley, you're first.
We are about to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh, it's good.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Ghost Rider.
I was reading a story while one of you were speaking a little while ago on Facebook. I was still listening, I promise. But the story was about John Bernthal's Punisher character possibly showing up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And it would kind of fit.
Yeah, it would totally fit. Yeah. So we got that to look forward to, hopefully. No, I recommend, I highly recommend Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from last night. It was very, very good. All right. Anessa, what's your final thought?
I am Rainbow Bright, Dee Dee, and Neil deGrasse Tyson all rolled into one, according to Brad.
It's true.
I concur. I can see all those different characteristics in your personality, Anessa.
Ooh. And now it's Facebook official.
Boom.
Because that meme of describe yourself in three fictional characters.
Oh, that's the thing on Facebook. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I posted it, and I just thought I'd share the result. Because I went with Brad's suggestion. I don't know what I would describe myself as far as fictional characters go. Perhaps Kimmy Schmidt.
I'll have to try that for myself because I have no idea who I would be either.
Dana Scully, because I can be skeptical.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong.
I don't know who the third one would be. But anyway.
All right. Good one. Thank you.
Have a good week.
That's going to do it for this episode. Did you just say have a good week?
Yes.
Okay. I like that. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. Thanks for joining us. And like Anessa said, have a good week.
Woo-hoo. Bye.
Whoop, whoop. Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.